What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have my brother DJ Tay Bottles here on the show. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
What's up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Tay Bottles from the Bay Area, Oakland, California. You know what I mean? I've been DJing for about almost 10 years now. I'm just glad to be here and be able to, you know, share my story.
Awesome, man. We're super excited to have you. And, you know, we just want to jump right into this interview and just get to know, you know, what got you interested in becoming a DJ and how did you get started?
That's a great, great question. And I'm more than happy to explain it. So, like I said, I've been DJing for like almost 10 years now, but really I've always been in the music. And it's funny because I never really realized it until really I graduated high school. I had a friend in high school, his name is Rome. He was always like into like marketing, media, you know, going on blog sites and, you know, find out what new music hits all the websites and stuff like that. Mind you, this was like over 10 years ago. So this is when like, you know, MySpace and Facebook was like the number one sites to go to. And like I said, he was my best friend and I always, well, he was into that. Mind you, I was more into like sports, playing basketball and stuff like that. So, you know, but music always, you know, interested me. I always, you feel me, love listening to music. When my mom used to throw house parties and housewarmings, I used to actually play music. You know, I would, you know, make mix CDs for the cars, for the house parties and stuff like that. So I always kind of had it in me, which is funny. But like I said, moving forward, when I graduated high school is when I started getting more interested in it. And this is how. So me and my friend Rome used to go to like all the house parties back in the day. And this is back when like I don't know if you remember like the touch iPods where you could just scroll with your finger. I used to upload a whole bunch of music. I used to download music from like Livewire, Frostwire, like I said, MySpace, Facebook, and just download all these music. Mind you, like I said, I'm from the Bay Area, so I would download a bunch of like underground Bay Area artist music. And he put me on game with a lot of artists I'd never heard of. So, you know, when he was putting me on game, I just started listening to him. And I was like, man, like, they're dope, but they're so underground. Like, you know, they're not on the same level as Too Short, E-40, Mac Dre, you know, a lot of the popular, more mainstream artists in the Bay Area. So I really just started, you know, gravitated to listening to that type of music. So when we go to the house parties, I'll bring my iPad with me. I mean, excuse me, my iPod. And I would just, you know, hook up my music to like whatever sound system. They might have speakers or whatever, aux cord. And I would just start playing music off of my iPod. And I would get the parties cracking. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like the parties would be lit. Like, I wish I had like old school footage of it. You know what I mean? But it would just be so lit. And my friend Rome was like, you know what? You damn near DJing. You know what I mean? Like you actually are DJing and you don't even realize it. And like I said, my mindset back then was, well, I want to play sports, you know, I want to play basketball because my dad played basketball and played sports. So that's kind of like what, you know, I was leaning towards. Also, I was like into like acting and stuff like that too. So that's really where my mindset was, like, especially in my younger teenage years and my younger adult years. But like I said, as I got older, you know, start kind of venturing off and start finding more interest. Like I said, looking at blog sites, you know, just start getting into the music. So I end up, when I graduated, I went to school in Houston called Prairie View A&M University. It's a HBCU in Texas. And it's funny because I went to school with a lot of like musically inclined people. Like the all the freshmen that stayed in my dorm, like everybody was into music. Everybody was recording music in their dorm rooms. Everybody was either writing music, producing something of that nature. So I was just surrounded by it. So I would just go, you know, hang out in their rooms and, you know, they start doing music and stuff. So I started kind of picking up on it. So I actually started writing music. I started helping them make songs or whatever. And I actually had a friend that I was in class with. His name is Dallas, and he actually ended up getting signed to a record label in Texas. And his first hit single that hit the radio, I actually wrote for him, which was crazy. So really, it kind of started from there, as far as like me just getting into music, I mean, I still, like I said, at this point, I still not realizing, like, you know, DJing could be a potential calling. But like I said, I'm starting to gravitate more to music and less from sports. Mind you, I end up tearing my ACL. I end up also breaking my ankle playing basketball. So that's what kind of made me, you know, de-gravitate from sports, because getting injured, having to go through surgeries, rehabilitation, like, it wasn't fun for me. So when, you know, when I'm not able to play sports, music was kind of like another calling, like, to keep me occupied, to keep me, you know, sane, just to keep me happy. So, like, so I started writing music, listening to music, you know, helping my friends produce music, stuff like that. So then I, like I said, I ended up doing a year in Texas. I came back home to California, Oakland, did my surgery, rehabilitation, everything. And I started picking up on the DJ aspect. And this is how. So, like I said, my friend Rome, he just randomly was just with each other one day. And he was just like, you ever thought about being a DJ? And I told him, I was like, nah, not really. I mean, I kind of did, because I had an uncle that was a DJ. And I remember once upon a time, I kind of like reached out to him. I was like, hey, I'm kind of interested in learning, but he never really reached back out to me. So I kind of lost interest back then. This was like when I was in high school. Like, so once I got older and he kind of brought it to my attention, I started thinking, I was like, you know what? I really kind of am a DJ already. I mean, I go to all the house parties. I plug up the music. I know the songs to play. I know the songs everybody wants to hear. And that's like a big part of being a DJ, is knowing your crowd, knowing how to control the crowd and get them, you know, energetic and having fun. So I was like, you know what? I should actually start looking into it. So I did some research. Me and mom did some research. We found a school in San Francisco called DJ Arts Academy. So when I found it, you know, I did my research just to see, like, what's the process to enroll and everything. The only thing was, they didn't do, like, scholarships or, like, financial aid or anything. So everything pretty much had to come out of pocket. And around that time, like, financially, I wasn't stable. Like I said, it was a lot going on in the household, so it wasn't really cost efficient at the time. So I started working at a pet store called Pet Food Express out here. Started working there just to, like, make a little money, just so I could, like, kind of start putting it towards the DJ school. And like I said, with my mom's help, with her working hard as well, we put it together. And boom, I enrolled in school. First day of school, I fell in love with it. Like, it was everything, wow. Just hands-on, everything. Like, and really what was crazy, like, it was a real small class. Like, it was literally a class of four people. And like I said, when you have that one-on-one attention to where, like, you feel like you're by yourself almost, you get what I'm saying? As opposed to, like, going to, like, a junior college or a university, which I have experienced both, where you're in a class of 30, 50, 100 people, you don't get that attention from your instructor like that. But with DJ school, it was just a different feeling I got. Like, from the first day, I fell in love with it, you know what I mean? And I just kind of knew there, like, this was like a transition point in my life to where I was kind of ready to, you know, give up playing sports seriously and start trying something new. And like I said, I definitely have to thank my friend Rome for that, because he made me open my eyes to something completely different that I've been used to my whole life. Like I said, I've been into, like, acting and, you know, theater arts, film, and like I said, sports, but I never really thought, what about music, you know? And not even just music, but, like, the DJ aspect, something that I was kind of already doing that I wasn't even realize I was doing until he brought to my attention. So, like I said, it really just started there. I went to DJ school, did a couple semesters, learned a lot, and then just kind of ventured off and started doing my own thing from there. So
that's amazing, really, man.
Just how I got started. Yeah.
I think that's a super great intro, and it shows, like, when you have skills and you have a passion, regardless of how rough things are, you know, if you have the courage to go find a way to make it happen, and you have, you know, the drive to make it happen in whatever way you can, you went and got a job at a pet store to fund your DJ school. And not many people, you know, would go through that to be able to do what they want to do and to be able to invest in themselves. So I give a lot of respect to you for doing that. And it shows, like, you're not just going to let obstacles get in your way and beat you. You're going to make sure you're going to break through those obstacles and make it happen. And, you know, tell me a little bit about like where it went from there after you got the skills from doing a couple of semesters in DJ school. You know, where did it go from there? How did you find like your first professional gig and such like that? Walk me through like the beginning after the schooling.
Okay. So basically how I really got started into actually getting gigs was I grew up with a couple homies that lived like in my neighborhood, and they would throw like house parties. Now, mind you, they were throwing these house parties in the process of me learning how to be a DJ. And of course they, you know, I would go to like, you know, the neighborhood park, it's called Mosswood Park. It's a legendary park in Oakland, California. I would go to the park, always on my computer, just like, you know, practicing what I learned in school. And they'll always be like, why are you on your computer? Like, what are you doing? And they'll see like this program, the Serato. What is this Serato that you're on? Like, what are you trying to do? And I'm just, you know, just kind of just practicing, making cue points and doing all type of stuff and just working on what I learned. And they was like, man, like, you want to be a DJ? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to learn. Like, I'm trying to go to school. Like, I mean, I was like, don't get me wrong, I still hoop with y'all, play basketball with y'all, but I'm kind of, my attention's kind of somewhere else right now. And they're like, man, that's dope. So I had a friend named Marco. He was a part of like, he was like the most popular dude in the group that was throwing these parties. He was like, man, I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna talk to the other guys and see if we get you to DJ like some of our, you know, our parties. Mind you, like I said, they would throw like house parties in Oakland and they would be like crazy, like kind of like on some Project X type stuff. If you ever remember the movie Project X, like I'm talking about wild, like, but a lot of fun, you know what I mean? So, you know, he put in a good word for me, like, hey, man, I ain't gonna lie, Tay, you know, he's doing his thing. You know, he's trying to be a DJ. I think we should give him a shot. So, you know, of course, they were like, well, we got to see what he's about first before we put him on and stuff like that. So, like I said, I was just dedicated into, you know, just practicing what I learned and just keep, you know, like every day, like I will not take a day off. And then one day, my friend, he actually, like I said, he was the popular dude in the group. So he was like, you know what? I want to try to do my own thing and kind of branch out from the group and throw my own party, and I'm gonna make you my DJ for my very first party. So around this time, I would say this is like about 2013. And this is when, I don't know if you remember an artist called Sage the Gemini. He had just came out with a song called Red Nose that was really popular. So he, and mind you, Sage is from Fairfield, which is like about 45 minutes away from Oakland. So he was like, you know, I'm going to bring Sage the Gemini out to come perform at my very first party, and I want you to be the DJ. So to me, like, never doing a gig, never, you know, no experience and no parties or nothing, just literally only DJing, like, in front of friends and family, I was like, man, this is a big deal. So, you know, I got on my game, and I just like, man, let me just tighten up and make sure I'm ready. But I was nervous, you know what I mean? So, but it's crazy, but he believed in me though. He was like, man, I think you can do your thing. I've been listening to you. You be at the park every day. You come to my house, you plug up and you start, you know, doing a little mixing thing. Like you're good. Like your song selection is on point. I think you can rock a party. I'm going to put you on. You know what I mean? So mind you, this was an all age event. So this was like, you know, I'm getting like high school mixed with like a couple like young, like adults, like, you know, like freshmen, sophomores in college and stuff, all coming to this event. Cause like I said, Sage the Gemini has like one of the hottest songs right now. So this is like a big deal. So day of the party, remember I woke up, went to my friend's house. He's like, all right, let me hear like a little 30 minute mix. So I was like, all right, come on. So mind you, this is the crazy part. So at this time I didn't have any equipment. I didn't have no turntables, no controller. All I literally had was my laptop, which was a Windows, I want to say like a Macintosh or no, it was a Dell. It was a Dell computer. And it's funny because the laptop was given to me from my mom's coworker, just kind of like a, you know, just to get started or whatever, you know what I mean? And all I had was literally like a aux cord mixed to like a Y cable. So with the red and white, you know, you put the RCAs in the back and it's attached to like a auxiliary. That's literally all I had. And I would just DJ. I ended up downloading Virtual DJ. And Virtual DJ is a program to where you don't have to use actual turntables to mix, scratch, and blend. Because like I said, I couldn't afford makes actual controller turntables and stuff. Like I said, I was only making literally like $9 an hour working at a pet store, and most of my money was going towards school and, you know, and just, you know, daily necessities. So I didn't really have money towards, you know, a controller. So I literally was DJing off of my laptop. First event, Sazed and Gemini, hottest artist with the hottest song right now. I'm nervous, but I'm like, you know what? I got to do my thing. I can't let my homie down. He got faith in me. I'm going to just go ahead and rock it. So plugged up the aux cord, loaded up Virtual DJ, just started mixing around, just started playing different songs and stuff. And he was like, you're ready. I'm like, all right, if you say so. So boom, now the party's here. I'm plugging up. They got this huge mixer, like I'm talking about like 64 channel mixer. And I'm just like, whoa. Like I ain't never seen, I mean, I've seen it like in class, but like, I'm, you know, I don't have the instructor to help me. So I'm kind of like on my own. And I'm like, oh snap. Okay. I know I'm supposed to plug this in somewhere, but I'm gonna figure it out. So I remember I was just trying to just literally read through every channel, through every input, output, and just trying to see like, okay, I know I plug in these RCAs somewhere. Okay, boom, tape input, boom, plugged in. Turn the volume up, start playing music. I was like, oh snap, I'm actually DJing right now. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, finna get the party started. So now I'm just playing music, and then I just have to kind of just tell myself, like, pretend like, you know, I didn't want, you know, I'm used to being on a big stage because, like I said, I've done like a lot of plays, a lot of film, and of course, like I said, playing sports in front of large crowds. So I'm used to being in front of large crowds, but just not on this level. So I was really nervous. So I just have to kind of like just tune myself in and just be like, look, okay, just pretend you're at the house, do your thing, don't worry about the crowd. Just do what you believe you can do. So I just eventually had to start playing a few songs, start transitioning here and there. And after a while, just like, you know what? This is easy. I can do it. So I just start playing music and start doing my thing. And then every time I play a song, I'll look out to the crowd like, oh, they like the song? Okay, cool, they like it. Okay, let me play another song. Okay, like this one? Okay, I'm doing a good job, you know what I mean? So that was motivation right there. Like, okay, yeah, I know what I'm doing, man. Like, they rocking with me. And, you know, like, they believe in me too. So it just helped me build more confidence. Like I said, that first opportunity to do that event. Like I said, usually people's first gigs be like something really small. You know, like a house party, a birthday party, some like family related. My first gig, like I said, was with one of the hottest artists at the time in front of a crowd over 150 people. So, like I said, my experience is definitely different, but I'm glad I just jumped right into it because it just made me have to build that confidence up real quick. Like, there's no way I could just go in the game and just not be confident. Because the audience, they don't know that I'm a beginner. They just like, okay, you're a DJ, play the songs you want to hear and keep the party rocking. So that's what I had to do. So yeah, that's pretty much my first time experience with my first gig. So
wow, man, no, that's an awesome experience. And it's great to hear that you were scared, but you did it anyway. And yeah, that's the most important thing today. It doesn't matter whether you're scared or not, just do things afraid and you'll see that you'll be able to get over those nerves quicker. You'll be able to move faster and really do things that are going to be very fruitful for your career and the things that you're trying to do. So I'm really glad that you got that out the way super early. And then, you know, we're able to just kind of go on from there with that confidence that you instilled in that one event. And that's great. You know, it really sets you on a good path to where you are today in your DJ career, brother. And, you know, I want to hear, you know, over the past couple of years, you know, from that initial experience, you know, what are some of the things that you've been focused on, and what are some of the things that you got planned like for the future, and some of the things you're doing today?
Okay, so like I said, after I did that event, I actually started doing, because like I said, that was an all age event. I actually went from all age events to doing like 18 and up parties with a little mature crowd, but like a larger, larger brand, if that makes sense. So I just started literally building up over the years. So I went from, like I said, all age events to 18 and up, and then eventually getting to like some of the more popular 21 up clubs, like, you know, Club Vinyl at the time, Caribbean City, Holy Cow, Club Hue, just to name a few. And then even from there, I started even venture off even more doing like, you know, stripper events, after hours, and then eventually doing events with like artists, like local artists, like Mr. Fab. He's pretty popular Oakland artist from my neighborhood. And he's really connected with like a lot of people from like Chris Brown. You know, he writes songs for Chris Brown, 2 Chainz, Big Sean, just to name a few. Like I said, being able to DJ a couple of his events. And actually, he did this one event in our neighborhood park called Pepsi Park. And it was a local radio station that was actually there that I ended up combining with. And they heard me DJ and they were like, man, you're amazing. Like, your song selection is something we've never heard before. Like, usually we hear DJs play the same type of music, has the same type of style, but you're different. Like, you stand out, like, from everything, from like your presence, how you carry yourself, from how you play music, how you interact with the crowd, how you transition from one song to the next. Like, they saw something in me, so they gave me opportunity to intern at a radio station. And it's funny because the radio show they offered me was a reggae show at the time. So I came in first day, they was like, hey, we have a reggae show. Mind you, I didn't even know like it was a reggae show at the time. I didn't really have reggae music at the moment. I just, you know, stuck to like the underground, hip hop, R&B, oldie, stuff like that. So me walking in and they're like, yeah, you're going to be on the air 12 to 2 reggae. I was like, I don't have reggae music. So what do you expect me to do? So they had this hard drive with like a bunch of reggae music and stuff. And it was like, just upload to your computer and just do your thing. Like, me not even knowing like the songs, like I know some reggae songs, but they had like them real in-depth reggae songs, and I'm just like, I'm gonna just try to do what I can. So, you know, of course I just try to match up the BPMs and try to just do what I could. But it's funny because the owner wanted to hear all reggae, but my co-host, they was like, hey man, if you could just mix in some hip hop with the reggae, that'd be great because our listeners want to hear hip hop on top of reggae. So I'm like, that's no problem. I could definitely do that. So, you know, I'll throw in some reggae, then throw in some of my music. But like I said, I will play like songs people never heard before, like the underground Bay Area artists and even underground artists from like down south, underground artists from like the East Coast, like New York, New Jersey and stuff like that too. So me mixing in the reggae with that is what really made me stand out. There was like, how is he able to mix in these songs he doesn't even know with these songs we never heard and then mix in some songs we have heard at the same time, just on the spot. So there was like, man, like, we see something in you. I'm not going to lie. Like, you're dope. We're going to have to talk to the owner and see if we can like revamp this whole show. So they ended up talking to him. They was like, look, man, we're going to get way more views, way more followers, way more people, way more attention to this show if we revamp it and make it into like an underground, like give it up. We need an outlet and a platform for underground artists to, you know, be able to display their music. There's no other, you know, popular radio sites at the time that was doing that. So, you know, he was up for the idea. He was like, okay, let's give it a shot. So basically the deal was at least once a week. So mind you, the show was Monday through Friday. So once a week, we had to dedicate to reggae. The other 4 days, we kind of could do what we wanted. But what I did was I will always just incorporate the reggae anyway. But like I said, mainly the underground music and stuff like that too. So it started off with that. And then the owner just started catching on. He started noticing we started getting more views and more attention. And then we started getting underground artists that would gravitate to our show because they seemed like the direction we're going. They were like, hey, like, I'm an underground artist. I want my music to be heard. I know you guys are getting a lot of views and good ratings. I want to be a part of it. And mind you, these are artists who are now today, like say, verified artists on social media, pretty well known. Like outside of their communities and stuff like that, like Nesta Pharoah, Tayway, G-Baby, like a lot of these artists that made songs that actually made it outside of California. And we got the opportunity to like kind of break their music, you know what I mean? And these are artists that approached us that saw the direction we were coming in. So like I said, I started off doing the all age parties and then eventually went to the 18 and up and then got the opportunity to be on the radio for a couple years. And eventually from that, I actually ended up getting kind of like my own show, my own radio show, because we ended up moving, because our location was in Oakland, we ended up moving to Alameda. And then we moved to Alameda. The owner kind of approached me, was like, hey, like, you can kind of like really have your own show. Like, you know how to speak well, you know how to interview, you know the music, you're very professional. We like, you know, we like your personality. We just like the direction you've taken this radio station as a whole. How about pretty much having your own show? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm definitely down for that. But I, like I said, me, I'm all about loyalty. So I did want to have at least one or two of my coworkers that I worked with. And at the time, the owner had got into a dispute with one of my co-hosts. So they weren't officially doing business no more. But my other co-host, he was still in good standings with her. So me and her actually ended up having our own show. And we called it Sugar Off Bottles because she went by Sugar Slim. I went by DJ Tay Bottles. So we combined it and we named it the Sugar Off Bottle Show. Wow. And like I said, from there, we interviewed a lot of people. Be Legit in the Click. We interviewed the Ghetto Boys. We interviewed Nas. We interviewed people from Love and Hip Hop. We interviewed a lot of like people that were really popular, like on social media and Instagram at the time. And it drew a lot of attention. And like I said, from there, I got to, you know, venture off and work with like E42 Short. And I got to work with like, you know, people outside of California. I got the chance to go to LA, Las Vegas, Arizona, DJ for Jacquees. You know, I got to open up for DJ Mustard, you know, all based off of this opportunity I had and this, you know, attention I had. And it's crazy because in the Bay Area, we have the hottest radio station is 106 KMEL, and it's ran by this guy named Big Von. And me and Big Von have crossed paths a lot of times. And, you know, like I said, you know, I give big props to him, whatever, but he never really kind of gave me recognition like that. And it's funny, when he started recognizing, you know, our radio show, he started reaching out, surprisingly, like, hey, you want to come open up and stuff? And it was just funny because I'm like, man, I've been around you. Like, I've been around your coworkers, like DJ Black Mark, DJ Rick Lee, those guys, all they all rock with me. They all, you know, recognize my talent, but you kind of always overlooked it. But now that you see like this platform that we've created, you see the attention that we're drawing and the artists that we're, you know, putting out there, you're reaching out. And you know what I mean? Like, I mean, of course I was, you know, humble and, you know, grateful for the opportunity, but at the same time, I was just like, man, like, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason, you know, like that's why you just got to still work hard. Don't get discouraged and just keep doing your thing. And eventually hard work pays off. And it did. So like I said, I got the opportunity to work with Big Von. And even from there, like I said, got to, you know, link up with more artists. And yeah, and even to this day, like I'm able to like throw my own events. And I'm, you know, working with some of the hottest artists in the Bay Area, some of the hottest artists outside of the Bay. I'm traveling. I'm working on my own brand. I just created a logo last year. And now I'm working on certifying my own like LLC business called Off Bottles Entertainment. So that's pretty much what I'm working on right now. And that's definitely what I plan on doing in the future, is getting more legit on the business side. Like I say, especially me, you know, having a lot of experience, not only throwing parties, but it's a DJing parties and being, you know, next to the people in charge and seeing how they operate events. Now it's like, okay, now it's my turn. I've been in the game long enough. I can do it myself. And I want to be the head guy, you know? So that's pretty much what I'm working on now. And like I said, the goal is just to get bigger and better each and every day, every year. And, you know, just to stay humble. And that's one thing I've always done. And that's what gotten me a long way in my career, was staying humble, never getting too cocky, never getting too confident. Even when people, you know, try to boost your confidence, even when people try to like pump your head up, be like, man, you're doing your thing, man, you're the greatest, man, you're the best DJ. I don't care what nobody says. You know, I've DJed a couple of, you know, DJ competitions. I've won 2 out of 3, which is pretty good. And yeah, like I said, just staying humble and never just losing sight. Like, you know, you can always be bigger and better. So yeah, that's pretty much.
That is amazing, brother. Thank you for sharing this story, man. And you've accomplished so much in a relatively short amount of time.
Absolutely.
I think that your grind, your hustle, your ability to build relationships, your ability to be loyal to people that you've already established relationships with, those are the things that are the cornerstone of your career. And you used it to bring yourself forward and elevate yourself to this level of success. So congratulations to you, man. And I'm super excited to you and your new entertainment company and everything that you got going on. I'm a big fan. I want to support you. So let's definitely stay in touch, brother. This time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yes.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Okay. So basically, my setup is I use a Pioneer DDJ SX3. And it's crazy because I actually, like I told you, I have my logo. I actually customized my own controller. So now if you look, it has my logos on the disc and on the fader and on the whole board. So I just plug in with two XLRs. I have two 15 JBL monitors, and I have two 18-inch subwoofer JBLs that I use. And that's pretty much my standard setup. And I have six wireless mics that I use. And a boost speaker, because I've never really been a big fan of headphones. I actually kind of like a boost speaker because I like being in tune with my crowd. And I feel like with your headphones, it kind of like zones you away from the crowd. So I've always never really used headphones unless I absolutely had to. But I would prefer, like I said, a boost speaker. And that's pretty much my basic setup.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Besides myself, I would probably have to say DJ Slowpoke. He's definitely somebody that actually inspired me to become a DJ, because when I was, like I said, in high school and college, when I was going to these parties, he was the DJ. He was the guy who discovered, you know, the IMCs, the HBKs, the underground artists in the Bay Area. And he was, you know, putting those artists on with, like, you know, KML, Big Von, and all the blog sites like Dizzler and, you know, Digital Drip, Hot New Hip Hop. He was that guy. So me coming up, I was like, man, like, he's somebody I want to be, like, far as, like, on the DJ aspect, I want to be that guy that puts artists on and, you know, gives them the recognition, exposure that they deserve. So I would say DJ Slowpoke will be my favorite DJ.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
Okay, I would say my favorite would be HBK Halloween. I did that back in 2016. And reason that would be a favorite was because that was my first time really being on a really huge stage with over 1,000 people. Every year, there's a group called HBK. I don't know if you ever heard of, like, I Am Sue, Cool John, and P-Lo, G-Eazy, Kehlani. They were all a part of HBK at the time. And they would throw a Halloween concert every year. And I was DJing for one of their members. His name was HBK CJ. And like I say, he kind of discovered me just from off the radio. And he was like, man, I want you to be my DJ for HBK Halloween. And I had heard about it, but I've never been. But I always see videos and footage of it. So me being able to experience that and just going on that stage and see over 3,000 people in the audience, you know, like, rocking to what I'm playing, that was just such an amazing feeling. And that's something I'm always going to remember. So definitely HBK Halloween will be my favorite. If I had to pick a second one, in 2019, I did have the opportunity to DJ at Rolling Loud. Of course, I'm pretty sure you're aware of Rolling Loud. It's like the biggest concert ever. You know what I mean? And it's huge, especially, like, you know, in the United States. And it comes to Oakland every year. And I got to DJ for, like, my artist. His name is Capolo. He's an up-and-coming artist in Oakland. We're from the same city. And, we kind of have the same story. We both kind of start from the bottom and build our careers as years came on. So the fact that he gave me the opportunity, he had the opportunity to perform. And he was like, hey, I want you to be my DJ. That was huge for me. And, you know, I was very grateful to have that opportunity, because there's a lot of DJs who've been DJing for 10, 20, 30 years and never had that experience. So me being in the game as short as I've been, you know, having the opportunity was, like, overwhelming almost, you know? So I would definitely say Rolling Loud and HBK Halloween.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Most interesting person. I would probably say Bushwick Bill of the Ghetto Boys. And the reason why is because, I mean, I kind of knew about Ghetto Boys, but I wasn't like really 100% in tune because, you know, they were more like in the 80s and stuff like that. But like I said, of course, I know a little something about them, but actually getting a chance to interview him one-on-one to really just, you know, get to know who he is outside of an artist, like him as a human being, like, you know, him dealing with, you know, his illnesses, him dealing with, you know, a lot of adversity he went through, like, of course, you know, being a short person and, you know, growing up, having to deal with the trials and tribulations and, you know, the obstacles he had to go through. It was very interesting to me to hear his background story and how far he came along, you know, and he became very successful despite everything he went through. That was a big inspiration to me because I definitely had could relate. You know what I mean? So I would say definitely Bushwick Bill of the Ghetto Boys was somebody that I interviewed that was definitely the most interesting.
And shout out to DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Absolutely. There's a lot of DJs I can name because, like I said, being in the DJ field, you get to meet a lot of DJs, you get to work with a lot of DJs, and everybody has their story. You know what I mean? I definitely want to shout out, like I said, my bro, DJ J12, DJ Buddy, DJ Chrissy, Chris, DJ Molly Mall. These are just a few DJs that I work with, like, personally, and then I have, like, real close friendships with. Like I said, me knowing their stories is definitely amazing, too. Especially, like I said, DJ J12, even though we're the same age, he started really young. He started when he was like 14, 15, so when I was going to the parties, he was that young guy DJing the parties and stuff like that too. And you know eventually over the years, you know, becoming closer to him and, you know, building a friendship with him, starting to learn his story, was that definitely inspiration to me too. So yeah, definitely I want to shout out to all those guys, and like I said, really all the DJs in the Bay, because I feel like the Bay Area doesn't get enough recognition as it is. So I just want to shout out, if you're a DJ in the Bay Area, shout out to you, because I'm pretty sure you have a story that should be heard and deserves to be heard. So shout out to all the DJs in the Bay Area.
Awesome, brother. We look forward to hearing the stories of people you recommended, and any DJ that wants to sign up for the show can do so at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Okay. So on Instagram, my Instagram name is DJ Tay Bottles. So that's DJ T-A-Y, and that's Bottles with a Z and not an S, 1515. You can find me there on Instagram, also on Snapchat. It's, instead of DJ Tay Bottles, it's just Tay Bottles 1515. Those are the two best social media platforms to find me on. I'm also on Facebook. I don't really post too much DJ stuff on there. That's more, I use that more to contact family from like out of state, like Chicago, Milwaukee, Texas and stuff like that. But like I said, if you really want to follow my career, Instagram is definitely the best. DJ Tay Bottles with a Z, 1515. I have a lot of events coming up. My birthday is in 2 weeks and I'm actually doing a really big event. I have Stephen G from LA. I have Neff the Pharaoh from Vallejo, Capullo, my artist from Oakland, Young Bari, and a lot of other artists that's going to come April 2nd in Oakland. If you are interested or want to know any more information, please tap in with me on Instagram. You'll see the flyers, you'll see the video drops, and I'll be more than happy to give you more information about that event. But yeah, that's where you can follow me. That's where you can find me.
Awesome, brother. It was great chatting with you and hearing your story, man. Everyone, please check out DJ Tay Bottles. He's doing some amazing work in the DJ game, and follow his journey. He's doing really well. Thank you.
Thank you.